On March 6, 1995, Jonathan Schmitz was backstage on the taping of The Jenny Jones Show, eagerly waiting to go live.
He has been told that someone was going to confess a secret crush on him on the show.
What he didn't expect, however, was that the person confessing was his neighbor, Scott Amadure.
3 days later, Scott Amadure was shot and murdered at his trailer.
How did an inane TV segment end in a cold-blooded murder?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know us. We're here every Monday with you with some crime, some time. And I hope if you're listening to this while not working, you have some wine with you.
Oh my God.
That sounds so good.
I'm debating.
Right now.
It's 4 o'clock, but you know what?
That's the energy of this past month.
I'm like, my brain is fried. And at least our case is it's pretty cut and dry. There's no mystery involved.
Exactly. There's no mystery, but there's so many head turnings and so much like, what the hell? And who allowed what? And the media has not changed. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, truly. Well, it's like crazy because I feel like even in the post framing Britney Spears indictment of the media, like the tabloids are doing the same shit just to different people.
Same shit, different people at different varying degrees of notoriety, et cetera. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's very weird to see like people disavow something and then at the same time, like still do that thing.
Exactly.
Super weird. But I mean, this case is really interesting because is this reality TV? I don't know. Does that count? Is like Jerry Springer reality TV?
I almost weirdly want to call it tabloid TV.
I know what you mean, because that's kind of what's going on here. Because
reality TV, I would say reality TV are the people choosing to be on reality television. You know what I mean?
Sure. These people,
is them signing a contract. This is them coming on for God knows what. And I don't think they get paid.
That's the worst part is you get to be embarrassed on TV for free. I don't know why anyone would agree to that.
No, truly.
No, but today we're going to talk about this case that I think, again, somebody DM'd us. Is that right?
Oh, no. Well, I just found this because I was listening to another podcast mentioning in passing. It wasn't even a true crime podcast. They were just like, oh, my God. And do you remember that talk show murder? And I was like, what?
We're like, hold up, what?
What? No. So I Googled it and I was like, guys, we need to cover this because this is insane. And I feel I'm still shocked it doesn't get talked about as much as I feel like it would almost should when like discussing the media and everything like that. Like it was just featured in a documentary on Netflix last year called Trial by Media. It's the first episode. We're talking about the Jenny Jones Show.
Yes, but wait, sidebar, because before we do that, I did want to talk about there was a reality TV murder. Do you remember the show? Okay, I'm going to expose my literal lack of culture and just how trashy I am. But okay, do you remember Rock of Love?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a contestant on Rock of Love and her name was Megan and her like shtick. Well, first of all the girls were hot. So I don't really know like why she got special like hotness status. But so they gave her a spinoff called I don't know. I think the premise was like she wanted to be a trophy wife and like find a husband. So they gave her a spinoff. But
Megan wants a millionaire?
Yes. But it never aired because one of the contestants, I think, killed his wife and then also killed himself like after the show filmed.
My God.
Before it aired. So this made me think of that as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be one we have to do down the line.
Yeah, we might have to talk about this reality show murder because really dark, really dark stuff.
That is very dark.
But equally dark, I feel like, is this case.
Oh, yeah.
And the documentary almost, I don't know, I feel like at points it tried to seem like light and fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have critiques about the doc. I wonder if we can get it because it's also, I'm like, you guys are shitting on the media for talking about this while you're talking to the media about this. So,
yeah, I feel like my favorite part was how they pretty much shit talked Jonathan's like not, was it Jonathan or was it Warner's like defense attorney? I think it was Warner Media's defense attorney. Like, mm-hmm. I loved how everybody should talk to that guy.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Do you want to start this time?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. So,
as they're switching it up,
we're switching it up. All right. So we're talking about Scott Amador, and he was a 32-year-old Michigan resident who met Jonathan Schmitz one day because Jonathan was outside fixing a neighbor's car. That neighbor was Donna and was Jonathan's friend, and cut to all three of these people winding up on the Jenny Jones show. They wound up on the Jenny Jones show because Scott applied for a segment on the Jenny Jones show all about secret crushes. So this show really
This is so questionable.
Kind of what we were discussing at the top. So just a little background on the Jenny Jones show. Jenny Jones was this comedian kind of going around doing the rounds. And then she landed herself a daytime talk show. And the daytime talk show started out, she kind of wanted to be like the new Oprah. She really was trying to kind she was really trying to do like kind of the tackling, like informative topics that Oprah, if you're a fan of the Oprah Winfrey show.
I feel like she was trying to be Oprah and like Martha Stewart, because she would like cook.
Yes.
And she would have interviews.
Trying to like, you know, the lighthearted, nice stuff that you kind of grow to just understand is daytime TV. But the ratings were not reflecting anyone caring about that.
Nope.
So the producers... No Oprah. No one could be Oprah.
No one can be.
So the talk show, Jenny and the producers, they made some pivots to try to improve the ratings. So she went on the complete like flip side of Oprah, I would say.
Truly.
Sort of became, if y'all ever called out sick, you didn't call out sick from school. If you stayed home sick from school and you watched the Jerry Springer show or Maury, which was my daytime at home TV, it is kind of like ambush television.
Yes.
Where at least one party doesn't totally know what the hell they're doing on TV or what is going to happen to them once they are on the TV.
Which is wild to me.
It's so insane. It's also something that would not, I don't think would fly now. Probably is not allowed.
Isn't Jerry Springer still on?
He is, actually. I don't know what the...
Or is he just like syndicated all the time? Because I will definitely be at the gym and like see this shit and be like...
You want to know what's so funny? I think he's on. And also now that you mentioned it, his bodyguard has, or his security guard has a talk show now too.
What is it called?
It's just Jerry...
That is absurd.
I think it's kind of like the same... Oh, the Steve Wilco show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... like, so, mind-blowing to me that I just feel like the allure of just being on TV for negative or positive reasons is still so strong.
And it's interesting because that's what Scott's brother on the documentary was saying, kind of like that Scott definitely wanted to be on TV. Not just, which is a fair thing that people want to be. But kind of with this ambush television, people would come on and it's a classic like paternity test, argue with the family, reveals about kids. They had makeovers, all this kind of stuff. And one of the segments, the segment that we're going to be talking about, was called Same Sex Secret Crush. Mm-hmm. And people would come on and confess who they were crushing on. Jenny Jones, I feel like she even announced it. She's like, would you leave a little note or would you bring them on national TV? And
she did say that. And it's like, well, if we're leaving notes, this is not a segment. Like,
and also we'll get into notes later.
The notes.
So in this segment, Same Sex Secret Crush, Scott, who is a gay man, applied for it and was chosen. So he went to confess his crush on his neighbor, Jonathan. So basically, they were both on the show with also Donna. Jonathan was backstage with no knowledge who his secret admirer was.
And I think he had like headphones on, so he couldn't hear what was going on.
Yeah, so he couldn't hear. So while Jonathan was backstage, the producers also told him, could be a man, could be a woman. If you want to come on.
I don't think they told him. Did they tell him that? Because I know that Jenny said that kind of like.
Well, I know the producers always said that too.
Did they? Okay. I didn't see that, but I did see like she said that on camera to kind of clue the audience into what was going to happen.
I know. Well, I know when one of the producers was on trial, she kept on saying that. So either she lied under oath, which. Could have been, but I think it's kind of one of those things. I think he also probably assumed I'm a heterosexual man. The crush would be a woman. You know what I mean? Probably.
Yeah, totally.
And so while he was backstage with the headphones on, Scott was on stage with Donna kind of talking through what his fantasy would be to Jonathan. Hammocks involved, whipped creams involved, a lot of all that.
Which is just honestly like creepy to like say on national TV.
On national TV. And it's
like an unwitting participant.
Well, here's also the interesting thing too, because Scott was a fan of the Jenny Jones Show. So he knew the outlandishness that did well on it too, I feel, probably came into a factor with it.
Mm-hmm. So he knew how to get the audience like riled up.
Riled up, yeah. So Jonathan then came out on stage and hugged both Donna and Scott very awkwardly. Jenny was like, do you know which one the crush is? Cut to then she announced that it was Scott.
And the first thing that Jonathan said was, you lied to me, which I thought was really interesting. I was not sure what that meant.
Because I didn't know if that was to Donna or to the producers or anything.
Or Scott, like, he say, like, bro, is it you? And Scott was like, no, like, I have no idea.
I know, I'm pretty, like, and he definitely seemed to be in a state of just, like, what the hell is happening?
Yes.
Also, cringy thing, a video we talked about of Scott describing what he'd want to do to Jonathan. They played that back to him after the reveal and it just got so awkward.
That is so uncomfortable. I will say maybe I'm just not good at reading people's body language, which is like 100% possible, but I thought that Jonathan seemed to take it okay in the moment. Like,
I thought so too.
Thrilled. That hug was completely stiff. Like, he was stiff as a board.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, he seemed to take it okay. Like, he was smiling, even if it was like a very awkward smile, but he wasn't like blowing up.
Yeah. And so exactly this is where the issue was. Jonathan, like we said, is not gay. So the whole thing was very just like, what is this crush even for? And Scott even said, like, oh, maybe he was questioning type of thing. It's like, why is this happening on TV? Who greenlit this? And it was just very uncomfortable. Apparently, though, they all was good natured as reported, and the three of them even hung out after the show too. So this show taped March 6, 1995, and here is where it gets to the aftermath of the Jenny Jones Show.
Yeah, otherwise this would just be us bullshitting about bad shows, which, hey, we can do. Let us know if we should just, you know, completely change the show.
Just talk Rock of Love, yeah.
Oh my God, that's my dream.
I mean, here we are. So the show taped on March 6, 1995. 3 days after that, Jonathan went to the bank, bought a gun, bought ammo, and on that same day, Scott was killed. And what happened was Jonathan went to Scott's home, kind of was confused at first, and then Scott even motioned to his roommate saying, help me, he has a gun, picked up a wicker chair to try to defend himself, but was shot twice in the chest. Jonathan, immediately after doing this, went to a payphone, called 911, and confessed to the crime. He said, I think I just shot someone. And then he said, I killed a man. I killed Scott because I was embarrassed on national television.
So then the case went to trial and... Okay, here's the thing. The Netflix documentary was like, this was a huge trial. I never heard of it. But also, I was 8. But still.
Exactly.
I'm like, whatever. You know, I feel like the OJ trial happened in, like, the 90s, and we heard about that. But allegedly, it was a huge trial. And there were some interesting revelations that came out during the trial. So, number one being that apparently, like, Scott wrote this explicit note to Jonathan and delivered it to his house the morning that Jonathan killed him. And... okay, I don't know. The thing is, I'm just like, this is creepy.
It was because it was the note. It had the flashers that you have on the side of the road type of thing. You know what I mean? Like when there's like a hazard and you have to drive around it.
The note had like
note was attached to that because it said you have the tool that could put this light out.
Yeah. I don't know. Donna said that it was a joke, but I'm kind of like, seems like one of those things where like, it's a joke if you're not into it.
Yeah. And also it's one of the things where it's a joke, but then it's like, you just did the joke on TV. Do you need the joke again?
Yeah. And it's like, you already know how the guy feels, but I mean, of course, not a justification for murder. I'm just saying that that's creepy.
And it was interesting. Yeah.
So the defense argued that Jonathan suffered from manic depression and Graves' disease.
Yeah. And that kind of like interested me when that was kind of used to the defense. Cause from what I know about Graves' disease, cause I know people who have it as well. Like it's kind of like has like, there's eye issues, weight loss, and there is nervousness and anxiety that can come with it. And I'm sure back then it wasn't treated as well now, but I know a lot of it was kind of more with like a high blood pressure and like some things like that. I've never really seen it being used in a court of law to this level.
It seems like a stretch, like, oh, I'm going to kill my husband for cheating on me and then be like, well, you know, I have genetically high cholesterol, not in control of my actions.
Exactly.
But I think the bigger issue and the bigger focus was that Jonathan's lawyer really just tried to use essentially a gay panic defense to get him off the hook. A gay panic defense is apparently still a thing. I also feel like there is a trans panic defense, which has also come up in the national conversation and also is completely fucked up and not a thing. But basically the gay panic defense kind of attempts to legitimize and excuse violent and sometimes lethal behavior against members of the LGBTQ+ community. And the lawyer basically said that the nature of the note and Scott's homosexuality was enough to send Jonathan into a panic and kill him, which they had this expert from, I think it was GLAAD on the.
Yeah. I think it's like the Center of Lesbian Rights.
That person was just really on point and being like, this is complete bullshit.
Well, I loved her POV where she was like, that's like saying anytime a woman gets catcalled or hit on and does not want to have sexual relations with the person doing it, does she have the right to?
Yeah, literally. I can kill every guy who's hit on me who I haven't liked back. Let me know if so, because I have a list to make. Yeah. No, but it's completely like just outrageous. And I mean, obviously because Jonathan confessed immediately after, I mean, there was no question of if he did it or not. The real question was if it was first degree premeditated murder or if it was second degree murder, like kind of the heat of passion, just not premeditated thing. We have some thoughts, so we'll discuss after, but here's what the lawyers argued. I mean, Jonathan's attorney argued that Scott had pushed him to his breaking point, and that was when Jonathan confronted him in the house with the gun. And he also argued that Jonathan didn't go in shooting, but a witness said that like he went in with the gun, Scott picked up a chair and started to throw it, and that's when Jonathan snapped.
Gun versus chair.
Right. I mean, 2 points about that. Number one, if someone came into my house with a gun, you best believe I would be picking up anything I could.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that according to Lori Brazier, who was a reporter for the Detroit Free Press, who was in this documentary, it was a wicker chair.
Which
it weighs like you could probably pick it up with your pinky. Like
true. The wind would blow that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it gets any more premeditated than going to the bank, buying a gun, buying ammunition, and driving to someone's house.
Well, that's what my confusion was too. I'm like, no, this wasn't him just because you would be able to argue that if Scott went to Jonathan's house and then was kind of like, you know what I mean? Making advances in that regard, that would be you're flustered. You don't know what to do. Cut to not driving right to his door, knocking on his door with a gun and shooting him 2 times.
Right. A gun that you had to buy like
that day. And even the woman who he bought the ammo from was testifying, being like, yeah, he seemed like it was just level-headed and normal yet and all that stuff too. So it wasn't like he was like very stressed out buying it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I wonder if it was kind of a product of the time because Jonathan ended up being found guilty of second degree murder, which is not premeditated. And I wonder if the jury did to an extent buy this gay panic defense. And I hope that a jury would not believe that today.
I know. I think without a doubt, they definitely were swayed by that because it just kind of was like people were making sense. Because also this was at the height of when it was like just kind of like coming after a lot of conversations where it's like you still had people negatively looking at that, and still happens today, but more so being used in the court of law. Now the gay and the trans panic defense, it's banned in 8 states. Shockingly, I think we can all guess which 8 states they are. They're all a little up north, you know what I mean? But it's still, but I think it's also now that kind of gets, is more easily thrown out. Like even in Texas and places like that lean more conservatively, they're also kind of just being like, this is not really worth using as a debate because it can be so fought back.
I mean, and also I just feel like there are so many like LGBTQ people who are killed. Yeah. Like there is of course like a real fear about coming out because of the risk of violence that like you can't legitimize this defense.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, and also because it's truly the LGBTQ expert on the documentary really summed it up. So it was like, so if anybody flirts with anybody and you're not into that person,
yeah,
that's basically what this
a lot of people are going to be dead. Let's say that.
We're going to be left with Twinkies and cockroaches on this motherfucking planet if that happened. So yeah.
Yeah. So Jonathan was found guilty, like I just said, sorry guys, of second degree murder. He was sentenced to 25 to 50 years with the possibility of parole. And actually in August 2017, he was released from prison on parole. And he didn't do the documentary. And he has not had contact with Scott's family, obviously. But I mean, he did serve his, served what? Like less than 20 years. Wow. Math. Yeah. That was rough. He served. Yeah. Like about 20 years, maybe a little less.
Yeah. And I know I tried to check out what he's doing. I think he just lives at his family house. Just and there was just one footage of him in the documentary with him being released. Just no answers. Jenny Jones also did not participate in the documentary at all either. The shocking thing too, we'll get into a lawsuit that comes after this from Scott's family, but the crazy thing is too, the show was not canceled after this
is what I cannot believe. Like
that episode never aired, but the show went on until 2003, so 6 years after that.
Oh my god, this is like my Rock of Love era. Like this could have been airing at the same time. I gotta fact check that, but that's what's almost mind-blowing to me is like, I mean, not almost mind-blowing, it is, they didn't cancel the show. Mm-mm. I mean, it makes sense that it never aired, like, of course, but I don't know. Like, I hope they at least stop doing the secret crush segment, but even that's not good enough.
Right. And it was interesting, too, because so many times the producers and Jenny and then I were kind of be like, well, we didn't really do anything bad with our show with this. But then they're like, then why didn't you air the episode? If you obviously, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of catching them with that. And it was very interesting. I don't also think, because I wanted to see what Jenny has been up to. She had a YouTube channel for a little bit, but then has not done anything in a long while. But she had like over 1 million followers. So I guess some people followed her there. She cooked food. So
yeah, I mean, it's just interesting because I read this really good book about The Bachelor and like all the manipulation that goes on there. And I just feel like TV producers are able to, I mean, their whole job is to just push people's buttons and manipulate them. Like, it's interesting because I think in a civil suit, they should have given his family money. But in a criminal case, it's almost like admitting that the show would be at fault would in a way be like legitimizing a gay panic defense. So I see the like problematic aspects of it.
It is the hard thing where it's kind of like they still, it's sort of like the provoking from the show could be one thing where it's sort of like, why do you have this segment? Well, we did that, but like, you can't really have that be the cause for the effect that it wound up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the segment is super problematic, but they should have just settled. Like, it's almost kind of gross that they didn't, you know?
Yeah, so here's what we're getting into with the civil lawsuit. So after, Jonathan was convicted, Scott's family, as they should have, sued the Jenny Jones Show, Warner Brothers, and Telepictures for negligence, which they did believe ultimately caused Scott's death.
It does seem like maybe they didn't do any proper like vetting of anyone to make sure that they, I don't know. Putting people on, you're literally ambushing people on TV. I mean, I know on The Bachelor, they do like allegedly rigorous, like psychological evaluations.
Cause I mean, that's also the thing. Cause I know Jonathan's lawyer argued that he was depressed, had anxiety and stuff like that, which could have been red flags for having him do the segment. Who knows if they did check that out. Jenny even said that he didn't even have him sign a contract.
What?
Which is so insane. So Scott's lawyer argued that the show created an unpredictable environment without any consideration to the repercussions.
I mean, it did. I feel like that is true. Like that's what it was predicated on, you know? And they obviously didn't, even if they did like a little, like it could be a man or a woman, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like they obviously didn't really do any sort of real expectation setting.
Exactly. And here is kind of an interesting twist that went on. One of Scott's acquaintances testified at the trial that Scott and Jonathan did sleep together. Donna said that didn't happen. I mean, it's also the hard thing too, where it's like, who, no one's going to fucking know, but it's like, I don't think Jonathan would have come out and say anything, but also I could imagine if people making stuff up to kind of just go along with this, who knows? One of the producers testified that Scott did tell him that he and Jonathan slow danced and kissed at Donna's house. Scott also said on the show that his family was like, Jonathan's family might have been questioning. Who knows if that was true or not. Scott's mom said that they went out after the show and had an affair, but Jonathan's defense lawyer also claimed nothing happened. So
I mean, happened or it didn't. You can't kill someone.
Exactly. And also it's like, did the he say in this case, it just kind of like just going back and forth. But yeah, the end result, no matter what happened, should not have been what happened.
No.
So here's kind of the roller coaster of this. The jury awarded Scott's family over $29 million in 1999. That's a woo, but it was later overturned because TV be TV.
They appealed it. Yeah, that one lawyer, man, he was a trip. He was a real character. Like, he was honestly like Better Call Saul, but if he was not just like a slimy personal injury attorney.
Really, really much that energy. I know. And it is insane too with this entire case. Cause I mean, like, I don't know. Jenny obviously didn't comment on it then and probably never will, but I feel girl don't seem to have that much remorse for anything. Not saying that she is to blame, but kind of she set a lot of precedent and did a lot of crazy segments on her time.
I mean, I feel like you are to blame in a sense if you like set the show, if you made the show that kind of set these events into motion. Like, I think you should, I mean, who knows what she feels in her own private life? Like I'm sure she feels like guilty. I hope, unless she's
exactly.
A complete, like, you know, emotionless robot. Man, it's just weird. Like, this style of TV, this whole segment seems like homophobic from the start.
Oh yeah. And it's kind of just like playing into it too. Cause it's like, why would you have someone that you know is straight be the crush that gets revealed?
Yeah.
No. And I know, cause, and that was just Jenny pushed over me, but cause I know she had so many things with like, loved having the like club scene kids always talking about like drugs and sex that they were having as kids. So she really just kind of always was pushing insane envelopes for not to raise the informative awareness that, say, an Oprah would do, but just for the shock value of it. And TV like this still happens today. And like Sarah says, now it's kind of the reality stars also getting in on it to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it does still happen today. I mean, Dr. Phil comes to mind, but he, I know, like, invites people on the show, but he still invites people on the show to kind of make a spectacle out of them.
I think he really,
like, he's not ambushing that. People in the same way, but he invites like two powder kegs on the show.
Mm-hmm. And as Penny Hearts and Happy Endings once said, it's a PhD. Everybody calm down in regards to Dr. Phil.
Wait.
I always have to add that because I love that.
What does that mean? Like, he's not a medical doctor?
Yeah. Which I just love. Happy Endings is such a fun show. If you guys need a palate cleanser after this sad murder episode, I do definitely recommend Happy Endings.
I didn't even know that. I thought he was like a psychologist or something.
Well, psychiatrist is medical. Psychologist is, I know it's definitely a PhD.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. They don't teach you that in school, kids. They do not teach you that.
They do not. Oh my God. Who can we trust? All we have is Dr. Oz, I guess.
No. We have Dr. Wendy Asofa. But I guess she also has a PhD.
Wendy, okay, thank God. Yeah, but she's not a medical doctor either.
No, so we are.
But she doesn't purport to be.
Dr. Jackie, Married to Medicine. Here we go.
Actually, yeah, Dr. Jackie is a real one.
She is real. She delivered Candy's baby.
The best.
I think we're going to play a game of our own.
Hello. So today, I am taking a page out of the Jenny Jones Show and ambushing the both of you by testing your friendship.
Oh!
We're going to play a game called Do You Know Me At All?
Oh my God, I love that. Okay.
I'm going to ask you questions about each other and test just how well you really know each other.
Okay, guys, no pressure, but this could be the last episode of this podcast.
Yeah, right. You did not think through the potential ramifications. What have I done?
So get some pen and paper to make sure you can't change your answers.
Okay, hold on.
So I'm going to ask you both a question about one of you. You will write down your answers, and then we will compare what your answers are. If the other person gets it right, they get a point. If they don't, the friendship is over. Okay, here we go. First up, which MLM is Danny most likely to join?
Oh.
He's like, which am I?
I know. I'm trying. This is hard. Would that be the one I do? I probably would.
I love that Sarah knew immediately.
I know. Now it's making me worried.
All right, Sarah. Tell us your answer first.
LuLaRoe.
Ah!
Nice. Yes! Well done.
I was like,
well
Danny,
done.
He wants the cult with the robes and he's going to join the leggings MLM.
That's exactly. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Next up. What is Sarah's all-time favorite true crime documentary?
Shit. I don't even know.
I'm blanking on the name of it also.
If you name the case, that'll be good enough.
I'm blanking on every single part of this.
Okay.
Let me do a different one then. I
like that I'm thinking about it like Jorge is gonna know the answer, but I'm like, wait, no. Yeah. I'm setting
that the, you can get this
that's
wrong.
What, okay, yeah.
I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't really know what my favorite one is, but I'll just do the one that comes to mind.
Okay.
All right, Sarah, what is the answer?
I said the Jinx because there's no ending like it.
That's true. Danny, what did you say?
I said the one we did with Kate Casey that was kind of in Spanish.
Oh, my God. I hate you for that.
What was that one?
Who killed Maria Marta?
Yes.
I blocked it out of my memory.
Because that so one has terrible. Memories with us.
horrible.
Well, Danny, you are not on the board. That is too bad. All right, next up, Sarah, what is Danny's favorite cocktail?
Okay.
This is hard. I have like two.
Write them both down. If Sarah gets one of them, that's good enough.
Okay.
All right, Danny, what is the answer?
Margarita or dirty martini?
Ooh, I had margarita or Pinot Noir.
Ooh, I was going to ask if wine was a cocktail because that would be my real answer. Yes.
Well done, Sarah. All right, next up, Danny, what is Sarah's zodiac sign?
You were going to say sodium intake?
Too high. Thank you. We've discussed my cholesterol already.
Oh, I do know this.
Zodiac sign.
I'm so bad because I know when your birthday is, but I think this is the sign that it is. Libra?
You are so right.
Yes.
Well done, Danny, on the board. Okay. Sarah, what is Danny's most watched movie of all time?
I have truly no idea.
Wait.
Okay, Danny, what do we got?
The Way We Were.
Oh, I wrote Chicago.
Oh, okay. I do love that movie. I do love that movie a lot.
What is that movie, Danny? I've never heard of
it. The Way We Were?
Have you, Sarah?
No.
Oh? Barbara Streisand and Robert Redford? It's when she goes, Your Girl is Lovely, Hubble. Evergreen, the what? Song. Is the Zoom off? Why has no one responded? Oh my God.
Oh man, I do not know that one.
Wow.
So, Danny, I think you might be the only person who's ever watched that movie.
Born after the 80s. It did come out of the 60s. Oh, it's so, so good. Oh my God. Anyone who's listening is watching is crying right now. Love Soft as an Easy Chair. Oh.
All right. Well, Danny,
you need a movie
what
night.
Is Sarah's go-to late night snack?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if this is because that just sponsors them sometimes, but I put Skinny Pop.
What is it, Sarah?
It's actually just peanut butter, like a spoonful of peanut butter.
That's classic late night snack.
That is so good. I was going to put cookies because you've been posting cookies a lot lately, but I didn't have that.
Yes, cookies are also good.
What cookies are you working with? Some Oreos, Chips
Ahoy? No, she like...
I've been like just there's a bunch of local bakers in Astoria that I've been like getting stuff from. So shouts out to my girl at For Love and Lemon Cookies. She makes these like lemon curd cookies that are gluten free and I think dairy free. They're really good.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Live in Astoria.
Yeah.
Go get some cookies. Okay. Next up, what is Danny's favorite trashy reality show?
Where do we start? I mean,
okay, trashy. Like these women give us their lives and that's how we repay them?
That's how we honor them. By trashing on
yes,
them.
Yes, by Danny. Calling them trash.
Okay.
All right, Danny, what do we got?
I put New York.
I just put Real Housewives.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. That counts. Well done.
Woo. Yeah, I feel like that the franchise would be like extra credit.
That'd be a lot. That'd be hard. And it also switches every year.
True.
Now it's Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Actually, but it's still New York. I do love New York the most.
Well, and with these Housewives franchises, now you're getting the best of both worlds, right? Because they're all sort of embroiled in frauds and crimes. And
you're getting a lot of scam. It's good. It's a true crime series now.
It is good. I literally was like bringing this up multiple times to someone who was just like laughing at me because we were talking about some kind of like scheme, some sort of like lead generating scheme. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that's like exactly what Jen Shah did. And they were like, we're talking about real like legal issues. Could you?
And also you're like, these are real legal issues.
No, seriously.
The feds are involved.
Literally.
All right. Last up, Danny.
Oh, shit.
This is it. What is the one unsolved mystery that Sarah will actually solve one day?
Ooh.
Oh.
Well,
I think this one.
All right, Danny, what did you say?
I put Maura Murray.
Oh, damn. I mean, I put Lauren Spear.
Oh, I was going to put her, but I was like, we just.
No.
Oh, I was so between the two. Damn it. Okay.
Well, Sarah, you are the winner Ooh. Of Do You Know Me At All? You do know Danny, but it seems like Danny doesn't know you at all.
Oh.
You got one question right.
I got Libra.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
And hey, you know what? That's because I know when the birthday is. So we're partying.
I was so torn.
Because I was like, oh, the more I want to feel is more close to your heart, but I guess not.
They're both very close. I actually don't think I would solve the Lauren Spear case because I'm in journalism school, but like I fucking hate bothering people. And I think the only way to crack this case would be to like really just try to work your way towards the inner circle of her friends. And
that's true.
I don't have the like, I don't know. I'm too self-conscious to ever do that. So
you could do that.
But this was so fun. Thanks,
Jorge. That was fun.
Absolutely. This was fun. And we'll see if there's an episode next week.
I know. It's TBD.
We'll go out for margaritas and Pinot Noir.
Yes. Oh my God. And I'll bring a jar of peanut butter. Wait, creamy or crunchy?
I kind of trade off, but now I'm in a creamy mood.
Okay. I'm a crunch.
I feel like when you go through peanut butter like I do, which is honestly slightly alarming, it's like I have to switch it up every so often. But if you guys want to message me about peanut butter, or I don't know, the Lauren Spear case, you can follow us on Instagram at Not Another True Crime.
Yeah, talk to her about The Jinx, her new favorite documentary.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone asks me what my favorite one is, and it's like, I don't have a favorite. There's just so many different ones to recommend.
I have a lot of least favorite.
Yeah.
We don't have to get
it. I actually think Murder on Middle Beach is like a sleeper favorite because it really has like all of my weird interests. Like it has pyramid schemes.
The way
it has
I
a murder.
Murder on Middle Beach next to
half a point. But other than that, follow us on Instagram, rate, review, subscribe, join our Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group.
Follow me on Instagram at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
Follow me and message me about peanut butter. It's Sarah the meme. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.